your mind. When I imagine an ideal family, I immediately think of a mom and a dad, a couple of teenagers that met in high school, they're high school sweethearts, they marry, they have two children, of course, a boy and then a girl. They live in suburbia, and dad, he has a good job. He leaves a little before 8 and he's home before 5 p.m. every day so he can be with his family. Meanwhile, mom is at home because dad's got a good job. She stays at home and she takes care of the home. And in the morning, she's gardening, and in the afternoon, she does a little bit of laundry. She's able to read a book and walk with God. And by supper time, all the family sits down at 5:30 to share a hot, nutritious meal together. And on Sundays, you can find the family lined up on one of the rows down at the local church. That's my idea of an ideal family. Yours may vary a little bit. But maybe you're thinking about your family and thinking, my family looks nothing like that ideal family. In fact, your family may seem more dysfunctional than normal and ideal. And I just want to say to you, if your family is a little bit skewed or disoriented or not quite the ideal that you had imagined, you're not alone. The Bible is full of dysfunctional families. Now think with me. The very first family, Adam and Eve, they have two sons. Cain kills his brother. How about Rebekah? She's the wife of Isaac. They have twin sons, and Rebekah favors the younger son over the elder son. And how about Joseph? Just a couple generations later, he has 11 brothers, and they conspire to kill him. And it's only by God's mercy that he's sold into slavery and is spared. There are dysfunctional families throughout the Bible. And I hope that you'll understand that even those kinds of families can experience God's grace and God's help. In fact, I want to tell you about another dysfunctional family that I think will be encouraging to you today. The family I'm talking about had a divided house, divided religiously. Mom was a Jew and dad was a Greek. And probably there was no spiritual influence coming from dad at all. Probably a pagan. Nevertheless, his mom takes up the job of training him in the ways of the Lord so that one day her son grows up to be a Christian, a pastor, and even one of missionary Paul's closest companions. The man of whom I speak and the family I want to talk to you about today is the family of a man we call Timothy. Now, what is to account for Timothy's success? We're going to read it right now in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, let me get to the right page, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." Paul tells us that the reason for Timothy's success is directly connected to his mother Eunice and his grandma Lois. Though he wasn't getting much spiritual direction from dad, probably none at all, his mom and his grandma stepped up and turned a dysfunctional home into a spiritual home that produced a godly son. And I want to say to you, regardless of how dysfunctional you think your home is, or how upside down, or how mixed, or a composite of people pushed together living in the same house, by God's grace, you can have a home that pleases the Lord and evidences God's grace. But here's the key. You have got to be a spiritual leader. Now, I want to tell you right here, Lois and Eunice are the spiritual leaders in Timothy's home. So it doesn't matter what your age is. I'm speaking to everyone, whether you're a child, a teen, an adult, or what your gender is, male or female. The point is this. God can use you to be a spiritual leader in your home. So what would a spiritual leader look like? Well, how can a spiritual leader overturn a dysfunctional family and make it produce godly young people and even godly adults if you happen to have a family that God has not blessed with children? Would you consider this? First of all, spiritual leaders follow after God themselves. You must follow after God yourself. And I'm going to lift all of these principles about spiritual leadership right out of Paul's leadership manual to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, in which Paul is teaching them how to be a spiritual leader. And the first one is to follow God yourself. Look with me at 1 Timothy now, chapter 1 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul said that God saved him so that he would be a pattern to all those who would follow or hereafter believe. Paul became a pattern then for others to follow. And so must we. You know, it is hard to lead anybody to a place you've never been. You're as much lost finding it as anyone else. Paul said that Christ found him and brought him to himself, and that he would lead others to the Lord. And that's what his whole ministry was about, leading Jew and Gentile to Jesus Christ. This is the first mark of a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader has first had communication, has first touched God, and now seeks to touch others for God. So your faith is absolutely critical. In the verse I read in the introduction just a moment ago, we read about Lois and Eunice, about their unfeigned faith that dwelt first in them. And Paul said, "I am persuaded is in thee also." Paul highlighted the fact that Timothy had faith, but where did he get it? He got it from his mom and his grandma. He got it in the home. Friend, let's start there. Do you possess the faith? I'm not asking if you're complicit with it. I'm not asking if you're okay with it. I'm not asking if you go to church with it. I'm asking, do you possess it? I mean, have you personally received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, it is possible to be in a Christian home and to attend church and never get the faith. And that's where it starts. Paul said, in the verse I just read a moment ago, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth. Friend, that's where it starts. You have to follow after God yourself if you want to have a spiritual impact on those in your home. But faith is only the beginning. There's also this element of following after God. In other words, Christianity isn't just a one-time event. Well, I got saved when I prayed when I was 3 or 7 or 17 or 37. Spirituality is a day in and day out interaction with God and walking with Him on a journey through life. And anybody who truly knows the Savior longs for this kind of interaction and fellowship with the Lord. There ought to be something going on then between the two of you. Spiritual leadership comes right out of your own walk with God. Is that kind of sounding difficult to you right now? The truth is, God is more interested in having a relationship with you than you are with Him. I think of it kind of like the prodigal. Dad is at the farm, and he's at the far end of the drive. And when you make the first step and take the first step up the driveway toward the farmhouse, your father bolts off the porch and runs to meet you. And if you'll just take a step and make a effort to carve out a little time for God, God will meet you. And He'll warm your heart with His word and in prayer and in fellowship with Himself. And you'll be so glad you did. It really is easier than you think. Now, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. Anyone, honestly. I know that some people say that you've got to be up by a certain time, or you've got to spend a certain amount of time in the Word, read so many chapters, or spend so many minutes in prayer. That isn't it at all. I'm just saying that if God really is important to you, and you love God and He loves you, people you love, you want to interact with, you want to talk to, you want to have fellowship with, you want His direction for your life. So you will find a way to put some time with Him so that you can learn more about Him and enjoy His fellowship, and that His goodness and His grace and His love and His patience rub off on you, and then through you can show forth to others. Reminds me of Moses coming down out of the mount. His face glowed from being in the presence of the Lord. And friend, that's where spiritual leadership begins. It begins with you following after God. Some of you know the name George Mueller. He's famous for his life of faith and prayer. He's famous for talking to God about his needs and begging God for provision, and God, time and time again, met the need just in time. Toward the end of his life, in fact, he died in March of 1898. Just a year earlier, he was invited to join the British and Foreign Bible Society, but he sent a note ahead and said that he wouldn't be able to attend that particular meeting. He writes, "Will you have the kindness to read to the meeting that I have for 68 years and 3 months, that is since July of 1829, been a lover of the Word of God, and that uninterruptedly. During this time, I've read considerably more than 100 times through the whole of the Old and New Testaments with prayer and meditation." Why was George Mueller spiritually effective and able to lead others, including at times over 2,000 orphans in his homes in Bristol, England? And the answer is, he followed after God himself. There's another characteristic, another mark, or something that is true of spiritual leaders. One, they follow after God. Two, they fill their homes with God's Word. Would you turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul emphasizes the central role of the Word in church ministry, but it's just as true in home ministry. A second mark, then, of godly spiritual leaders is filling their homes with God's Word. I'm reading now from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse number 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work." Why was Timothy able to come out of a divided home loving God? And the answer is, his family taught him the Word in the home. He learned it at home from his mom and grandma. A Word-filled home inoculates the mind against many evils in the world. I don't know, kind of sounds like brainwashing to me. On the other hand, if you don't introduce the Bible in your home, your family may never develop a taste for it their whole lives. As you know, we live just an hour and about 15 minutes north of the Mexican border. In fact, this week I had a chance to cross the border. Unfortunately, I timed it on the same day that the Secretary of Homeland Security chose to visit the border. Don't recommend that. Anyway, on with my story. Mexican foods are known for being spicy and extremely hot. Latinos seem to develop a palate for hot things, and their thermometer is just off the charts. Why is it that way? Well, I learned directly from Mexicans in a former ministry that children or infants are introduced to chili pepper in the bottles of infants as they grow up. So they develop a taste for chili at an early age. And that taste stays with them their whole lives. So that as grown-up adults, they almost cannot get hot enough salsa. The rest of us are sweating BBs. The rest of us, the salsa would just melt the skin off a cactus. And yet they're enjoying it. How is it? Well, the child was introduced to chili pepper early, and they developed then a taste for it all their lives. Spiritual leaders understand then that that is central and important to spiritual growth in any person's life is the Word of God. So I'm going to introduce it at an early age, and I'm going to keep giving it to them until they learn to enjoy it. They reach for it then when trouble comes. They read it to their families at regular intervals. They bring it up day after day and talk about it because they want the Word of God to become as familiar as eating and breathing, as tasty as salsa is to a Latino. Why? Because spiritual growth and spiritual well-being is directly connected to feasting on God's Word. In fact, let's notice what Paul says. We don't even have time to develop this. I can only comment briefly. But in verse number 15, Paul says that it is able to bring conversion. And that from a child, he said, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How do you bring people to faith? You introduce them to the Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more the Word gets in, the more the soil is prepared in the heart to receive the truth about Jesus Christ. So exposure to the Word is crucial to bringing people to salvation. So if you really want to see your family saved, you want to see your family committed to God, begin with the Word. I want to say that this, in our day, it's no easy task. Our kids are flooded with media influence wherever they go. My kids visit the dentist, and there's TVs going in the lobby, and then when they sit down in the dentist chair to have their teeth worked on, there's a screen above their face with more images and pictures going. It's true in a restaurant. You can't hardly go to a restaurant now, and families can't even converse because sports is going on in the background or some other image on a screen. And on top of that, they go to their friend's house, and what's going on there? Almost every room of the house has a TV and a video feed, and music is playing, and there's media saturation. So it is absolutely critical for you as a spiritual leader to fill up your home with God's Word and to cut out the media long enough to get the Word in so they learn to hear for God. It's not going to be easy to counter the level of saturation and influence that they're receiving, but that needs to be countered. God's Word is eternal. It stands forever, and it is the only solid footing upon which to build a life, and spiritual leaders are committed to it, to fill those under their influence with it. So I want to say to you, as a parent, as a spouse, you ought to have a time set aside each day. Maybe it's before bedtime, or after a certain meal, or before downtime in the evening. Let the Word come out. Read it, pull it off the shelf, and share some of it. The Gospels are exciting. They breathe with thrill and adventure and wonder in the words and also the wonders that Jesus performed as he walked on the earth. Maybe you could pull out a historical book out of the Old Testament, Ruth or Joshua, 1 and 2 Samuel, give the stories of David, how exciting those are. In 1 Kings, you'll read about 2 Kings, you'll read about Elijah and Elisha. Build a routine then to introduce your kids to God and His ways by introducing the Word at regular intervals. Fill your home with the Word. Be a spiritual leader. Hey, listen, you could complain about your family being dysfunctional, or you could make it ideal by being a spiritual leader in your home. So fill it with the Word because it brings salvation. Verses 16 and 17 also give us further benefit. It gives us spiritual direction in life. He mentions here in verse 16, doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. I wish I had time to go through these words and talk to you about them, because it does teach and correct and fix what's broken and show us how to make it right. But the key thing I want you to get from this passage of Scripture is that the Word of God gives us direction and counsel about how to do life the right way. Shouldn't we expect that? Shouldn't the author of life at the beginning be the best authority on how to make life work? That just makes sense. And the Bible is an awesome, awesomely rich book that has helped more people to get life right than any other book on the planet. We really do cheat ourselves if we limit ourselves to looking at this book on Sundays when we're at a Sunday school or a Bible study or a church. For the Bible to do its work, it needs to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. As prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 28:13, the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Spiritual leaders then are doing everything they can to move people closer to the word. Now ask yourself, is that happening in your home or because of your influence? It matters not whether you have children living at home or not. Are you leading people toward the word? Because it does provide direction. Because it does bring salvation. Are you doing that kind of thing? When Ken and Marty Collier, just before they got married, Ken Collier served most of his life as the director of the Wilds Christian Camp and Conference Center in Brevard, North Carolina. But as they were dating or courting and getting closer to marriage, they began to be somewhat concerned, especially Marty, that they didn't have experience. They had come from dysfunctional homes, and they wondered if they could somehow map out a way in life that they would avoid some of the same kinds of problems they had experienced growing up. As they discussed it, Ken looked over on the bench at the Bible next to him, and he said, "Marty, how about whenever we face something we don't know what to do, we just do what this book says?" He really couldn't have come up with a better plan. The Bible's been around a lot longer than any of us, and the people who followed it as a pattern and guide in life have turned out well. I have never seen somebody at the end of their life saying, "Bummer, followed the Bible. Look what it did with my life. Look what a mess it's made of me." Never happened in my experience, in my 46 years. But many regrets at the end of life from those who chose not to listen to God's instruction about life. Let the Bible then fill your home, guide your thinking, solve your problems, be your go-to tool when you don't know what to do. Fill your home with the word. Are you a spiritual leader? Do you follow after God yourself? Do you fill your home with God's word? Final thought, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. When Paul is thinking about Timothy and his spiritual leadership, he says to Timothy, a familiar verse, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." A final mark then of a spiritual leader is one who sets a good or godly example. You've heard it said before, haven't you, that more is caught than taught? That is certainly true in the home, and that's certainly true of Christian parenting. Living out your faith is so critical in the home. There's actually two dimensions to setting a good example, and I think they're kind of hinted at here in 1 Timothy 4:12. And one has to do with being and the other with doing. And you really can't separate the two. What you are determines what you will do. Let's look at this a little bit closer. In verse number 12, Paul says about this example that we're supposed to be to other believers, it's supposed to be in word or what we say. In conversation, how we behave. In charity, how we love. In spirit, how we feel or how we respond. In faith, what you believe. In purity, what you avoid. In fact, Paul mentions a concern for Timothy's purity, not only here, but in the second book as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, Paul says to Timothy, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Leadership then, friends, is first about character. Being is character. I know it's not a big deal today. We have politicians and leaders and people in high places, even in the corporate world, who don't have good character. But character has always been important to God, and it has always been important to your spouse, and it will always be important to your children. You need to be real, genuine, and full of integrity. Maybe as you listen today, you realize you're not. You're living a double life. There's a secret you that you hope no one else discovers. It goes on at night. It goes on when you're away from the home, and nobody knows about your secrets. I want to say today, it doesn't have to continue. You can be a person of integrity. You can set a good example in your home, and it can start today because of something called grace and something called forgiveness. And God is willing to give you a brand new start today if you're willing to confess your sin and start off on a new foot today and put that secret life behind you and ask God's forgiveness and start on a new course today. I hope you'll do that. But I said there are two parts or two dimensions to a good example. It's not just your character needs to be right, but there's also needs to be doing or service. We see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus had all the good character. He was love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and so on. But he also lived to serve other people. And godly examples, spiritual leaders live to serve those in their home. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 14 about Christ, "If then I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." Our duty, our privilege as spiritual leaders ought to be washing feet and meeting the needs of people in our home. You ought to see a job, whatever your age, whatever your rank, whatever your title in the home, father, mother, husband, wife, sister, brother, child. You're old enough to breathe and you're old enough to think. You're old enough to serve. So run the dishwasher, take out the trash, make up the bed, clean off the table, do something to serve others every day. Give your wife a heart attack or show her you know how to run the vacuum cleaner. Serve. Because people that are a good example have good character and they're also doing, they're serving the people in their lives. God intended it to be this way. A whole family of people serving. In fact, there's hardly a job left to do because somebody's already jumped in to do it. You'd think that would never happen in my family. My family is so messed up, I'm the only one that works here. But it could be different. It could start with you. And you could set an example that others would begin to embrace and your whole family could be involved in serving. But you need to lead the way. Be a spiritual leader. Don't complain about your home being dysfunctional. Rise up and be a spiritual leader. One day, a mission leader from the States was visiting a mission work in Africa. And this has been a number of years ago, about the middle part of the 20th century. And they were visiting the work of Dr. Carl Becker. I believe it was in Uganda, maybe in Congo. And as the two were walking together down the road, the visiting mission leader happened to notice a man walking toward them. And he kind of looked at him and commented with a frown, "I think I know that fella. He had a bad reputation up north. He was insolent and surly, and you couldn't trust him out of your sight." Dr. Carl Becker looked at his guest and he said, "Well, maybe so, but he's now one of our most trusted staff members." Then he called the worker over to where the two men were speaking. And the mission leader asked him, this visiting guest, about his former life. And then he asked this question, "Why has your life changed since coming here to the mission compound?" The African worker looked up at Dr. Carl Becker for a moment. Then he looked back at the mission leader from the States. Finally, he spoke up. He said, "Many missionaries had preached Jesus Christ to me. Many missionaries had taught Jesus Christ to me. But in this doctor, I have seen Jesus Christ." You could have the same legacy in your compound, in your home, in your place of spiritual influence. May it be so. Hey, is your home perfect? Hardly. Neither is mine. But if only one person in the home would rise up and seize the opportunity to be a spiritual leader in that place, a dysfunctional home might move closer to what God intended all along and might bring glory to Him and spiritual growth in the lives of the people in that home. Will you rise to the challenge? Will you be a spiritual leader for the Timothys in your home? May God help you. May God help us all to rise to the challenge to be a spiritual nurturer, lover, leader in our home while we have yet our breath and our days. Shall we pause for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we're so very grateful for your word and how you've touched our hearts as we've recounted the encouragements that Paul gave to Timothy about being a spiritual leader. We need that same kind of encouragement. Lord, it's easy to kind of be lackadaisical, just kind of let things be. God, help us to seize the opportunity to make a difference like Lois did and Eunice did in their home for the sake of their son and grandson, so they might become something for God. Lord, all of us as believers have an opportunity to impact people that way. Would you encourage us to do that and seize the time, seize the opportunity that's before us? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Has God touched your heart? Will you speak to God? Just take a moment. Talk to him. Listen to his voice. Say yes to his will. Ask his help to be a spiritual leader in your home. He will help you. He's just waiting for you to take the first step.